It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We dive into a State of Veterans report, more than 100 pages, to better understand the over 331,000 veterans in our state and strategies to meet the needs of Wisconsinites in uniform, past, present, and future. Join in 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Yaidi Cancel Martinez is a visiting assistant professor at the School of Architecture and Urban Planning at UW-Milwaukee. She's lead author of this report titled The State of Veterans in Wisconsin. Yaidi, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me. And also, I want to extend my thanks to the Center of Economic Development. That's where I was working when I worked in this report.
Yes, you were a research scientist and policy analyst at the Center for Economic Development, UW-Milwaukee. And the report was funded by the Wisconsin Veterans Chamber of Commerce. So how do you envision your report being used and put into practice?
That is a great question. Well, first of all, our team at the center, including Lisa Heller Williams, Missy Erlrich Rodriguez, and Center Director Joel Rass, we wanted to understand more deeply the current characteristic of veterans and projected change in their population in Wisconsin, how these vary by the urban rural areas. And we also want to basically understand in a more deeper way with the information available, with data available, the education, economic well-being, housing, and health. So we will like this to be a tool for veterans, communities, organizations, just to get a deeper understanding of the current veteran population. So then we can see where are the gaps, where are the needs, and also understand where are things going well as well.
Hmm. The report has been out some months now. What has been the reaction since it came out?
That is a great question. Well, mainly this report, it's a technical, we call this a technical report for an organization at the Wisconsin Veterans Chamber of Commerce. So our hope was that it will benefit that organization. And also once we have it publicly available, it can help other communities as well. Because of my transition to a different department, I am not aware to the extent to which the report has been utilized, but I hope and we hope that it can help inform decisions or organizations that are working with veterans.
Well, let's talk about the changing face of veterans. You found Wisconsin has a higher percentage of older white male veterans compared to the rest of the country, but the VA expects our veteran population to drop and be more diverse over the next 20-some years. How different would Wisconsin's veteran community be in the future?
And yes, we use projections from the VA. They have a population projection model, and we looked into how the veteran population will look in 2045. And our analysis reveals that even though most of the veteran population will continue to be mostly white and male, and that's because of, you know, current demographics, and even we extended to 20 or 25 years, it'll still remain that way. But we will see an increase in people of color, so veterans of colors, particularly Black and African American veterans, and also Hispanic, Latinos, and also women's veterans as well. And this is due because in the past, over the past 30 years, the veteran population has become more diverse. There's been more opportunities to increase diversity among service members. And of course, as more people go into retirement, basically become veterans as well, we will see a shift. It's still going to be slightly, but it's something.
We're talking about Wisconsin veterans with UW-Milwaukee visiting faculty member Yaidi Cancel Martinez about her new report. You can join in at 800-642-1234. So as you see the demographic shifts, how might services need to change, or what new questions need to be asked to acknowledge and support the evolving demographic of who will make up veterans in decades to come?
Yes, that is a great question. I think understanding more the needs, especially for female veterans, veterans also from other gender groups as well, even though we did not look into this deeper because of lack of data, but understanding the needs of female and other non-binary groups, I think it's important, serves also to access to resources and healthcare. Also, with an increase in veterans are Black or African American, Hispanic, Latinx, understanding two ways to connect them even further with the community and get more support as well. So, being more cognizant of how our state and our country is becoming more diverse, mm-hmm. and providing more inclusive and welcoming environments for all groups.
Let's look at motivations to enter the military service. It's led to a significantly higher percentage of veterans than non-veterans holding a bachelor's degree. There was in 2020, this Syracuse University found 61% of Hispanic veterans said earning education benefits was their top motivation to serve in the military. How much does education have in factoring in that motivation of Wisconsin veterans who serve?
Yes, that is another great question. My understanding is that sometimes serving in the military provides an opportunity for underserved groups like Hispanic, Latinos, and also African-American and Black individuals to earn a degree based on the support available. And our data show that from 2010 to 2019, there was an increase in the number of percentage of veterans also with post-secondary education, mm-hmm. and then a higher proportion of veterans of color completing college compared to their non-veteran counterparts. So this is hinting us that perhaps the military is a catalyst for that higher educational attainment. And we can see that too, because some, our college and universities, there are programs in place as well, along with VA providing support and resources for student veterans.
We have UW-Milwaukee architecture faculty member Yaidi Cancel-Martinez, lead author of this report about Wisconsin veterans. Join in on the landscape of programs and services for veterans in our state. What's missing? What you've experienced? 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We get takeaways from a report examining the lives of Wisconsin veterans that breaks down four key categories: education, economy, health, and housing. The report says despite recent efforts to increase housing stability, veterans are nearly 50% more likely to become homeless than Americans in general. Join in on veterans' issues. Support programs that have helped you or your community. 800-642-1234. UW-Milwaukee Visiting Assistant Professor Yaidi Cancel-Martinez is lead author of the report about Wisconsin veterans and stays with us. Yaidi, you found veterans here in Wisconsin earn roughly $6,700 more per year than non-veterans, but income has stagnated when adjusted for inflation. What is causing the income stagnation?
That is a great question. This is something that we did not look into our report in terms of what is causing or what has been influencing potential stagnation incomes. In general, I compared 2010 to 2019. So we were 2010, we were just still getting over the Great Recession. Mm-hmm. And we've seen a huge economic expansion up to 2019, right before the pandemic hit. So there might be different reasons there. It's just that we did not delve into that detail, but definitely in Wisconsin, adjusted for inflations compared to 2010 to 2019, the change in income among veterans was there's a slight decrease of $900 compared to the nation, it was much less. But non-veterans had seen an increase over that roughly 10-year time frame of just over $1,300. So it might be related with occupation, it might be related with the job environment that veterans work at. But again, I'm not completely sure. It's just one of those observations that we found based on the data from the census.
Yes, veterans losing ground economically, more to look into there. But let's now look at the housing piece, which is huge. And you found that about one in five veterans in Wisconsin rent their homes. About 40% of veteran renters pay more rent than they can afford. Nearly half spend more than half their income on rent. Why are many veterans renting in unsustainable ways?
That is another interesting finding. However, also when we compare to non-veterans in Wisconsin, the difference is not, there's essentially no difference there. So the housing affordability among renters is a problem for both veterans and non-veterans alike. So that there might be issues with the housing market, and the rents have been going up, and incomes have been, you know, as I mentioned, stagnant for veterans. And also it depends on the location too. So veterans who are renting in urban, particularly higher market costs, you know, in suburban areas, tend to pay more. So therefore there's a connection there with a cost burden, which means, you know, more people paying over 30% of their income on rent.
You spent some time in the VA Home Loan Guarantee Program, which has been around for about 75 years. What has that loan program meant for homeownership for veterans?
Yes, in terms of homeownership, I just want to take a step back as veterans, compared to non-veteran group, have done really well in overall terms of home ownership. And the Veteran Home Loan Program has been a huge catalyst for that opportunity to home ownership. So having that service out there and ensuring that veterans get access to home ownership, particularly providing the opportunity for zero down payment as an option or low down payment had boosted the rate of home ownership. So this program has been in place for a while, and that also had provided a boost in terms of home ownership among veterans.
I was really struck by your data that VA home loan applications increased by 68% in Wisconsin between 2014 and 2019. What accounts for that huge surge?
Well, it could be lenders understanding that, you know, veterans, there's a need for home ownership and providing the opportunity out there. Again, this is based on the homeowners and Homeowners Disclosure Act. So the numbers is showing that the bump, but we did not look in and to understand what might be driving this.
Okay. I'm going to reintroduce
my hunch.
Oh,
is
okay.
My hunch is that it has to do with lenders being more open to provide services to veterans.
Yaidi Cancel-Martinez is with us as we talk about Wisconsin veterans. UW-Milwaukee faculty member did a report on the state of Wisconsin veterans. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Let's look at the mental health piece. You found veterans with a mental health diagnosis like anxiety or depression are at a higher risk for suicide overall. And the Department of Veterans Affairs listed veteran suicide prevention as its top clinical priority. Are state authorities doing enough to prevent suicides?
That is a great question. And definitely mental health is an issue that impacts a lot of Wisconsinites. And it's an issue also among veterans. In our study, we utilized Survey of the Health of Wisconsin data from 2014 to 2016 to get an idea of the mental health conditions among veterans, including anxiety and depression. And our data showed that difference among between veterans and non-veterans is not as big in terms of severe anxiety and severe depression. So in overall, while there's not much of a difference there, this is still an issue of concern.
When you looked at veteran-owned businesses in Wisconsin, you know, generating billions of dollars each year, what has that piece of the economy meant for veterans and meant for the overall state of businesses in Wisconsin?
Could you please repeat that?
Maybe you had a bad connection there. You looked at veteran-owned businesses in Wisconsin generating about $12 billion each year. Wisconsin having more than 5,700 veteran-owned businesses with at least one employee. How does that impact our economy, and how does it compare to national trends?
Yes. This information there is showing for veteran-owned businesses that are majority veteran-owned. So let's say that the more than 50% of the business is owned by a veteran. So this is showing a sliver. I'm just providing here the caveat. This is drawing a sliver of the whole population in terms of businesses that are veteran-owned. And this is telling us that veteran-owned businesses are very important in terms of our economy. So, yeah, it provides, in terms of the revenues, it's an important part of the common economy as well.
Mm-hmm. And you also said there's good news because programs and strategies exist at the state level, also at the local level, to address challenges that veterans face. What can Wisconsin learn from other states that provide services to veterans?
Yes, there are. We looked at a few programs outside the state of Wisconsin that provide support to veterans in terms of employment. So there's a program in Michigan called InvestVest that helps connect veterans with better employment opportunities. There's also the Veteran Entrepreneurship Program in Illinois and help improve access to training and technical support and capital for veteran business owners and entrepreneurs. So those are some of the examples that will help veterans not only get employment, but also help them get training and access to become self-employed or own a business.
So really looking at our neighbors for ideas and how to boost services and programs that we don't currently have in Wisconsin, is that coming out of this report?
Yes, it's a way to, yeah, it's important to look at our neighbors, other states and what they're doing so that we can learn from those best practices and try apply that and get ideas as well in order to provide, you know, additional support, especially people are just coming back. One thing is, you know, providing support to existing veterans that have been here for a while, but those are just coming out of service, I think that's a need that needs to be addressed.
EID, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you this morning.
EID Cancel-Martinez is a visiting assistant professor at UW-Milwaukee's School of Architecture and Urban Planning. We have a link to the report at WPR.org/mornings. Up ahead, we check in on healthcare access with a leader at the Milwaukee VA Medical Center. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. News update is next here on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Department of Veterans Affairs has expanded and extended eligibility for VA health care for certain veterans of the Gulf Wars and post-9/11 era. Enrollment opens Saturday, and the VA said it will increase health care eligibility for hundreds of thousands of toxic exposed veterans. Join in on Veterans Healthcare, 800-642-1234. Quentin Hepfield directs the nonprofit organization Wisconsin Veterans Network, or VetsNet. Quentin, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Good morning. We also have James McLean with us, Acting Medical Center Director of the Milwaukee VA Medical Center. Jim, welcome to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Jim, let's start with you. As you see, the veterans exposed to burn pits, other toxic substances, you said between 30,000 and 75,000 Wisconsin veterans may be covered due to the new law. What difference could this coverage make in a veteran's life?
Oh, it can make a huge difference. When we look at all of the potential impacts from the toxic exposures, this will position individuals for early diagnosis as well as all the appropriate care for those individuals. And there were several thousand of us who served in these areas and were exposed to whether it was burn pits or other toxins that were airborne.
Do you have enough medical staff to support this potential sizable increase in patient load? Can you meet the need?
We're going to do our best. We're always looking to grow services. You know, just as every other healthcare organization across this country, staffing is a challenge. There are approximately 500,000 nurses that our country is short, but we will do absolutely our best to continue to recruit the best in their field to provide services to our veterans.
One more piece here. The VA plans to screen all patients for environmental exposures beginning next month as part of this effort to monitor veterans for illnesses caused by burn pits and chemicals, other toxins they may have encountered. How will you implement this directive at the Milwaukee VA?
Sure. So part of the screening will be, because it's once every 5 years, it'll be part of the veterans' regular annual screening, along with individuals who are coming in to enroll and then to be registered as part of this. So we should be able to incorporate it into our normal business operations. We probably will need to add a few more staff, but we're also adding new clinics. We just signed a new lease for a clinic in Oconomowoc, and we're working to add another community-based outpatient clinic in the nearby area around Milwaukee.
What impact will those clinics have?
Well, it's going to expand our capacity to serve veterans, and it's also going to put primary care, mental health, and some of the additional services closer to where the veterans live.
Quentin Hatfield, your organization offers a wide range of services. We just heard the word mental health. You know, that is in the mix, emergency relief, legal assistance. What needs are the most pressing for veterans?
2022 has been a particularly troubling year for a couple of reasons. One of driven mostly by the economy and the spike and increase of almost everything. Housing is one of the biggest issues we face across the entire state of Wisconsin. Through August of this year, don't have September's stats yet, but through August of this year, we had 68 veterans and or veteran families who were either homeless or we intervened to prevent homelessness. 17 of them were homeless at the time they came to us. And it's the cost of housing is increasing at a very rapid rate. The other issues that we've addressed as their biggest issues this year are the needs for jobs, food insecurity, energy assistance, and transportation.
All of those things being very much interconnected. Quentin, when you work with veterans, how do you prioritize what needs should come first?
We do a complete review of the veteran situation. I would just say that if a veteran is homeless, we're trying to determine what caused that so that we can work upstream. We can solve homelessness, but what was the factor that created the homelessness? If we can work backwards with the veteran and get to those base issues and work on them, then we can create a long-term stability for the veteran. For instance, over this past weekend, we had a veteran family in La Crosse who were homeless. He lost his job a couple of months ago. They've been living on savings, ran out of savings. La Crosse County is particularly stressed for resources, and the county veteran service officer called us to ask if we could help. We've had them in a hotel through the weekend, and this morning they'll be doing an intake with the Center for Veterans Issue for a permanent housing solution. If they need to stay in a hotel longer, CVI will pick up that hotel stay, but it's those kinds of things that are an everyday occurrence.
One specific example there. Jim, I would imagine healthcare gets very complicated when you look at very basic issues like lack of housing and homelessness, mental health. What can you do from a healthcare standpoint?
In terms of mental health and veteran housing, we have an extensive program to assist homeless veterans. If you look at some of the impacts of healthcare for homelessness, living on the street without a home tends to age you about 6 to 7 years within that 1 year time. Mm. And there tends to be a significant impact on one's health. Certainly the wear and tear on the body and the impacts on the immune system are pretty significant. Our homeless effort is really a community effort. We work with a lot of organizations to find what resources are available to our veterans. And I think Quentin hit the nail on the head. Identifying the source of homelessness, why it happened, is critically important, and trying to get to the root of that. A lot of the individuals who are homeless have mental health challenges. And so we've invested heavily in our mental health services. And that's really across the board, whether it's inpatient acute mental health or addiction therapy, PTSD, all of those potential mental health issues. We have built a pretty robust network to help veterans address those concerns and really be a part of the community, because that's where we see veterans in the optimal situation, not in a facility, but being able to thrive in the community.
Jim McLean there at the Milwaukee VA, Quentin Hatfield with us at Wisconsin Veterans Network as we talk about veterans' health issues, quality of life. You can join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. I want to look at suicide prevention, Quentin. There were more than 6,100 veteran suicides in 2020. How does your network address this issue?
It is a pandemic in and of itself in the veteran community. And we are actively engaged in a couple of ways. First, through the Veterans Health Coalition here in Southeast Wisconsin, which is a coalition of 113 or 14 organizations, both nonprofit and otherwise, who are engaged in veteran health issues. And it is focused on identifying highly at-risk veterans in the communities in Southeast Wisconsin and connecting them with the VA and other organizations who provide the mental health services for them. And also, I serve on the governor's, on the committee advising the Governor's Council on Homelessness. Homelessness is a big driver of suicidal ideation. So we're plugged in various ways with our partner organizations across the state to try to identify those at highest risk and connect them as quickly as we can with the VA or resources in their community.
Jim McLean, you have suicide prevention coordinators at the VA Medical Center. You have case managers. Is their caseload manageable now for the need that you see?
Certainly. This is a major issue. It's a public health crisis. It's important for us to work with all of our partners. For instance, we recently were part of a mental health summit in Fond du Lac, and many, many organizations were a part of that effort with a strong emphasis on prevention of veteran suicide. You know, there are lots of misnomers out there or misconceptions. For instance, many people are worried about asking friends or family members if they're feeling like they're going to commit suicide because they fear that that may then spur the individual on to commit suicide. And that's actually not the case. And what we've seen in many circumstances is that one simple question by a friend, a family member, someone close to an individual is the first step in getting the individual the help they need and a recognition that they do need assistance. So we really are putting a lot of emphasis, a lot of manpower, and a lot of resources into prevention of veteran suicide.
Noting here as well, 988, the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline, 988, the new shorter number to get help. Yes, and Jim, just
and that's, a, that's yeah, 988, select one.
Select one.
Yes.
I want to follow up on U.S. Veterans Affairs Secretary Dennis McDonough said the VA is focused on firearm safety to help reduce veteran suicide deaths. What about that issue with firearms?
Yes. If you look at the means by which individuals, especially veterans, commit suicide, firearms are by far and away the majority of the cases or the majority of those suicide events involve a firearm. If you only look at male veterans, that percentage increased drastically. So we do work with a lot of organizations in the community regarding gun locks, as well as working with families if they feel like there's a situation where a veteran may be at risk for suicide and there are firearms in the household. The community partners, along with law enforcement organizations, have been very helpful in working with those situations to try and pull those firearms out of the setting until the veteran is in a better place.
Milwaukee VA Medical Center Director Jim McLean there, and Quentin Hatfield leads the Wisconsin Veterans Network as we look at a range of challenges facing veterans and next steps. Join in on healthcare, on housing, economic stability of veterans, what challenges you see, what programs are thriving near you. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. According to a study published in the Annals of Medicine recently, veterans have been heavily impacted by the opioid overdose crisis, with drug overdose mortality rates increasing by 53%, 53% from 2010 to 2019. Join in on veteran pain management, barriers to healthcare, 800-642-1234. Milwaukee VA Medical Center Acting Director Jim McLean is here, and Quentin Hatfield, Director of the Wisconsin Veterans Network. Jim, in recent years, VA medical centers, including the Milwaukee Center, have been under investigation over opioid prescribing. What is the Milwaukee VA doing to prevent overdoses?
Sure. We are actively involved in several programs that involve pain relief, which doesn't use opioids, whether it's alternative medicine, different prescribing patterns. The VA has been heavily involved in research associated with pain management. I think when you talk about the opioid crisis, it was much larger than the VA itself. If you reflect back, there was a huge push by the Joint Commission regarding the fifth symptom, or the fifth the fifth vital sign, which was pain management. And that was in the early 2000s. And that's when there was a huge push across the country regarding pain management and the use of opioids. The VA was similar to a lot of other organizations, a lot of other healthcare providers who were following what was supposedly the guidance at that time. But the impact of that was huge across our country, and the VA was not unscathed from that, where we had individuals who we were providing opioids for, and then as the opioids were pulled back, a lot of individuals shifted over to street drugs, specifically heroin, which then fentanyl became part of the street market for heroin, and it was just deadly, and it continues to be deadly, where we're seeing a huge increase of deaths across our country related to individuals who are using fentanyl, which is just a killer drug.
Quentin, how is the Wisconsin Veterans Network thinking about and acting on the opioid epidemic? Quentin, are you
there?
There you go.
I was there.
Okay.
I couldn't unmute quickly enough.
Sure.
We deal with that by working very closely with the staff of the VA Medical Center and VA clinics across the state. They are the experts. We don't deal with opioid use frequently, but when we do, it's an immediate referral to VA staff.
Jim, the Office of Inspector General, that has been a top priority, addressing the opioid epidemic. And, you know, a little over 5 years after the OIG inspected your hospital for overall opioid prescribing practices, what has been the major change as you go forward? What has changed?
Well, you know, I think that overall there's been a recognition nationally that the use of opioids needs to be for a very specific reason over a very specific time, and that the use of opioids for the most part should not be a long-term practice. And that it should be used as minimal as possible. We certainly have increased guidelines and a significant amount of monitoring regarding prescribing practices and how individuals prescribe opioids, and specifically for what. And the first choice is to use a non-opioid.
Mm-hmm. Let's bring on Valerie in Milwaukee. Valerie, you're on with Jim McLean at the Milwaukee VA and Quentin Hatfield of the Wisconsin Veterans Network. Go ahead.
I'm calling. I am a veteran of the Vietnam era, and I'm currently priority five, but I struggle every year to maintain my priority five position. Is there any plan in the works to increase the allowable income so that somebody like me can maybe get a little part-time job instead of having to struggle between my Social Security and my limited IRA?
Valerie, thank you. Quentin, can you explain priority five and what Valerie is facing?
I honestly believe that's better spoken to by Jim.
Okay, Jim, go ahead.
So there are several eligibility criteria for mm-hmm. individuals, whether it's service connection, time in service, as well as income eligibility. The income eligibility is set at a national level. Mm-hmm. Those are adjusted from time to time, certainly based on inflation. I think that number will go up. I'm not the decision maker there. That's just my opinion. What's really important for individuals is to work with our eligibility section, and I can give you that number if you like. It's 414-384-2000, extension 42046, or extension 42053. Individuals, for instance, individuals from the Vietnam War, they may have different eligibility allowances now than what they've had in the past. Eligibility changes frequently, sometimes year to year, based on government guidelines as well as laws and regulations. So I would encourage him to work with our eligibility section. In fact, as a Vietnam veteran with some of the changes, he may, in fact, be eligible for former services at this time.
Valerie, thank you for that call. And Jim and Quentin, thank you so much for joining us.
Again, thank you for the opportunity.
Jim McLean, Acting Medical Center Director of the Milwaukee VA Medical Center. Quentin Hatfield, Director at the Wisconsin Veterans Network. Earlier, we talked with UW-Milwaukee faculty member Yidi Cancel-Martinez about a recent report exploring the state of Wisconsin veterans. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. Mm-hmm.